God's wisdom and the world's wisdom are totally different, because the truth came from the one true God, and the wisdom doesn't change, depend on the time or space. So it's really different than God's reasoning. It's very different. So this morning, let us be led by the Holy Spirit to discuss this topic together. Obey the truth of God, and you shall receive blessings. So let us keep reading Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. So the author said, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and succor the saints. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. So all those three verses help us understand the five duties of the high priest. First, that the priest is selected from the world. Second, that the priest was appointed to represent the people. And number three, the priest is dedicated to dealing the matters between God and man, so that he is the bridge between God and man. And number four, the high priest needs to be considerate of the people. And number five is that the high priest shall offer sin offerings for both the people and himself. So, back in the Old Testament time, those are the five duties of the high priest. Pay attention to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2, that he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and those who are going astray. What does it mean? It means that he can empathize with those who are ignorant and going astray. However, those people are different than those who consciously harden their hearts. And secondly, those who are going astray are willing to turn back to the right path. Therefore, the priest has the responsibility to help those who are going astray. Not only that, the priest is helping those to help offer the sin offerings for both those people and himself. So let's look at this concept. What is sin offering? So those people, no matter what they sinned, they will bring the animals to the priest and put their hands on the rams of the cow or sheep. Why are they bringing to the priest? Because priest serves as the bridge between man and God to offer those sin offerings. So when those who have sinned have put their hands on the rams of the cow and sheep, that means that all the sins that are contributed by humans were transferred to those animals. Then those animals need to be slaughtered, and their blood need to be shed. And that completes the sin offering. That way, the sin committed by human were forgiven by God. Why do we need to do it? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, let's read it together. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why? Because the blood consists of life. No matter if you're human or animal, inside of the blood, there is the life. In another way, let me put it another way, that without your life, that your sin could not be forgiven. This really shows how serious and severe is sin, that in front of our holy and righteous God, we have to shed our blood to be forgiven. This reminds us that we need to stay away from sin. And this is the true meaning of sin offering. And this is another proof that our God is the uttermost holy. If someone commits sin, this part has to be addressed. Our God does not tolerate it. Just like kids, if they lie, us as parents, we'll have to address it. We have to tell the kids that this is wrong. But you have to be honest that we, as parents, have to help you. No parents are turning their back, turning a blind eye on the lying kids. And the God is the same way. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And blessed he was the priest of God Most High. So this Melchizedek is a very important and unique person. Why? Because he was the priest of God Most High. What did he bring out? Bread and wine. To celebrate Abraham's victory. And we know that Holy Communion is consisting of bread and wine. Bread represents Jesus' body that he died, was broken for us, and the wine represents Jesus' holy blood. Let's go back to Melchizedek. He is the priest of the God Most High. He brought out bread and wine and blessed Abram. Let us also look at Psalms chapter 110, verse 4. Let us use the scripture to understand the scripture. Let us read it together. It's on the screen. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What does it mean? That Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek to be a priest forever. Some people might mistake that the Melchizedek is an orphan, has no lineage. It's not right. It's just that the Bible didn't record that part of history for him. However, Melchizedek he was the high priest of righteousness and loyalness, that he's the precursor for Jesus in the Old Testament. So that means that Jesus is our resurrected king, and we don't understand what he did after he resurrected. Jesus is the forever high priest next to Lord that pray for us every day. So every day when you wake up, think about Jesus. Jesus, not only did he resurrect from death, he still every day stands next to God, being the high priest and praying for us consistently, no matter where we are. When we know that, how comforted are we? So the book of Hebrews is really stressing what Jesus did after he resurrected. That is different than the other books where they talk about what Jesus did when he was in the world before he died for us. However, Hebrews is different from all those books because Hebrews talked about Jesus' actions and what Jesus did after he ascended to heaven. So please, Lord, help us understand that. So let us look at this word. You are a priest forever. In Genesis, we see that Melchizedek blessed Abram. Why is this important? Because it's always the ones who are in higher order bless those. You can see it's always the fathers bless the oldest son. It's never the son bless the fathers. So it's very important there's the hierarchy here. So we can see that the Melchizedek is the high order of the priest that he is who blessed Abram. So this helps us understand that Jesus Christ is always the high priest that blesses us and from the Lord. And we can always see that the seekers, even though they're seeking, if they hear me say that, I want to pray for you, they are happy. Of course, me as the pastor, I'm always happy to do that. For example, I would always ask them, I can pray for your kids if you're going abroad and going to college. So we can see that blessing is very, very important. And as you can see in the email signature, everybody can say that, may God bless you. Nobody's saying ever, may God curse you. So let's thank God for this understanding. And let's look at the qualifications of the high priest. But the first is to connect God with the men. Second, the priest can empathize with the grief, pain, and weakness of the people. Number three, that the high priest must be called by God. That the high priest was called by God to serve. So the book of Hebrews, the author, he had to make it clear how Jesus is fitting to all those three qualifications. And we know many people are asking the question, let's read it together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we can see that Peter said that you are a chosen people. Chosen by who? By God. That we are a royal priesthood. Not only were we chosen, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. What is a royal priesthood? We know that the duty of the priest is to connect the God with the people. So we know that we're chosen in a way that's really special and holy, that we must treasure it. So how can we be a good royal priest? For example, if you are the first Christian in your family, you are responsible for blaming your parents, your siblings, in front of Jesus, because you are the royal priest in your family. This is very important. This is how we can live out to be the chosen people and the royal priest. So every day, pray for your family who haven't become the Christians. Me, every morning I wake up to pray for my family. Some of them in Taiwan, Sichuan Province, or Michigan. I pray for them every morning. Why? Because we are the royal priests. Why? Can I be so sure? Let's read verse 10 together. Once you were not a people, verse 9, that you may declare the praises of him, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. So what does the royal priest do? We need to declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness. We have an important mission, that is to declare the praises of God. We need to do it whenever, however. We need to do it with passion, with initiative, with action, that we have to declare the praises, the glory of Jesus, who called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. If you agree, let's say amen. This is a very, very important role for us being the royal priest. Let's read it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It was very different before and after we received the mercy. Like me, I was so different before I was saved by Jesus' grace. It's all because of his grace and mercy. Those testimonies who touch people's hearts the most are the ones who are transformed by the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Not by science, not by schools, not by education. You can see those who have high intelligence, if they use it in the wrong place, it's very scary. Those people in the position of power, if they have wrong heart, can be really bad. So once again, not by anything, but by his grace and mercy that our heart were transformed, that we must do good, do well, and be a good Christian in Jesus Christ, that we are transformed. Help us, Lord. We know the month of April is very special because the resurrection day is near. And our religion is different than the other ones because Christ Jesus was revived and resurrected. So, thank you, Jesus. And I hope you all can join us on Easter Day. It's a very good day to do this. So I hope you all can use that day to invite more people to join us, especially for those who haven't joined in a long time. We can social distance. You can wear a mask. We have the space and the equipment to do so. But I invite you to invite those to come back to celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ for fighting death, for winning over the evil. Let's keep looking at Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the ones who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent tuition. So, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Although he was the only son of God, he had to learn obedience. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. All of those for us believe in Jesus, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation for us. Let's think about what this verse means in relationship with other verses. And think about all the corresponding verses in Old Testament and New Testament, because we are analyzing the scriptures in context within reason. So these three verses is about Jesus' obedience. Nowadays, especially the young people, nobody likes to hear the word obedience. When couples fight, nobody wants to obey. And Bible says the wife needs to obey the husband. The husband is the head. The wife is neck, right? Because the wife is deciding where the head is turning. Anyways, the people nowadays don't like the word obedience. But what is Bible telling us? Even Jesus Christ, the high priest, the Holy One, he is willing to obey, to die for our sins. Imagine when Christ Jesus was nailed on the cross, how much suffering did he go through physically and spiritually? However, Jesus still obeyed to the will of the God. If Jesus said that, oh, let me think about it, it's too painful, what will happen if Jesus didn't obey? Think about it. Think about it. All the promises and covenants in Old Testament won't be accomplished. There won't be Easter. There won't be Good Friday. Without the suffering, there won't be the resurrection. So Jesus chose to obey, because he knew that he had to obey to complete the salvation plan. If he didn't obey, that would be terrible. But we can see that Jesus didn't obey by coercion. He obeyed because he loved the world and wanted to save us from the darkness. Jesus Christ followed God's will to come to earth. Everything he did was because he loved us. He was willing to sacrifice himself to save us. And that's why Jesus Christ is our Savior. You all can remember that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and the holy curtain and the holy temple was broken. What does it mean? That means Jesus laid his body to be the new way to go close to God. If you know Old Testament well, you would know that high priest didn't go to the holy temple easy. That they can only go once a year with sin offerings. I believe you all know that. So it is really important for us to know that the holy temple strips were broken because Jesus laid his body to pave the way for us to go closer to God. God saw us as righteousness, not because what we offered, what we did in church, or whatever. God saw us as righteousness, as righteous people, because of 100% what Jesus did for us. So help us, Lord, so we need know this understanding. So what does it mean for us? And this is the important thing, that we need to obey. As far as you obey, you will be blessed. Why? Because God will give you what is the best and what is most fitted for you. So don't be stressed out or be anxious and doubt God. All we need to remember is that God's way is higher than people's way. God knows everything and knows all our plans of us. If we choose to go on the way of the God, God will present to us what is the best fitting for us. So please don't complain or be stressed about the difficulties that are in front of you, because we will see the miracles that God is preparing for us. We know Joseph from Old Testament. His life was filled with sorrows and loneliness. However, he never complained about God. This is what we need to learn. And Joseph was so sure that God had good plans for him. And lo and behold, he became the prime minister of Egypt. Especially during the famine time, God used Joseph to save his family, to save all the people of Israel. And God taught Joseph how to forgive. Forgiving the brothers who sold him. So when Joseph looked back, he can see that all those sufferings were not for nothing, because he obeyed. He obeyed, even though he suffered. It's worth it. So we can see that God is full of wisdom and prepared great things for Joseph. Once again, this tells us that those who obeyed shall be blessed. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. For he was made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Was made perfect, what does it mean? That means that Jesus went through all the tests. Remember, the devil lured God into the wild and tested him 3 times. Jesus is better and overcame all the testament, all the tests of the evils. Even when we're weak, brothers and sisters, think about Jesus Christ. Think about him as a Lord that's with us always, that you will become strong and more faithful. This is very important. That by Lord, we can live a victorious life every day. Tell the brothers and sisters next to you that you will live a victorious life. You will live a victorious life by Jesus. This is very important. Say it loud. say it loud. If you don't say it, how can you spread the gospel? We are the ones that will live a victorious life. Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God are all with you at all the times. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does mean seek first? That means in your life, put his kingdom and his things first. Not your stock, not your job. Even your life was given by God. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Put God as the number one in your life. Put God's things as the number one in your life. I promise you, God will bless you. Because I did the same thing. If I put God's things on the back burner, when I'm free, when I'm happy, I do God's work. Think about what God will think of you. Think about what Jesus would think, who died for you on the cross, if he's on the back burner. Don't mention God. Even people will be mad at you. So, Lord, help us. So, what do we need to do? We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I often say that all the Christians in North America are very well-versed with scriptures. Old Testament, the historical information, everything. It's easy to be well-versed in Bible and scripture. But what are they lacking in their life? No amount of knowledge can make up to the lacking in one's life. And are you truly transformed? Let's keep looking at Hebrews. The author warned those who are legalistic, who followed strictly of the laws and all the rules. Because oftentimes those people who believed in Judaism, even though they believed Jesus, they are overly emphasizing on the rules. But this is unnecessary. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. So there's no need to follow strictly to the Old Testament's superficial religious laws. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. He was being polite, but this shed light on a big problem. That you are an infant who is not mature. How come you all haven't matured in a long time? So how to address this? 14. Only those solid food is for the mature. In other words, if one church is gatekeeping with a lot of rules and laws telling people what can or cannot do, then people cannot mature in this church. In another word, if someone's so well-versed in scriptures, however, if his life is not good, and wishing everybody can listen to him, those kind of churches cannot be good churches in unity. So please help us, Lord, that we understand all the studying, all the prayers are all for the purpose that we may follow suit of Jesus, that I might be humble, for my yoke is light and my burden, for my yoke is light and my burden is heavy, so that we may follow Jesus. We may be humble, that we may be good. That we need to build the body of the Holy Spirit, that we may have a good church. No matter all the what kind of activities, everything we do, that we may follow the principles in Bible. Let's look at Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it means that, brothers and sisters, for us to do so, this is the true and proper worship. No matter what you want to do, contact me, brothers and sisters, that I will find a role for you to worship at church. Also, another important thing is that we have to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, because that way we can test and prove of God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So one important fact about following God's perfect will is to obey, that we may test God's will. If you think that you don't have to obey, I have my own ways of doing things, I don't think God can bless you in that way. So, brothers and sisters, we have to 100% obey God. No matter what you seek, what you pray, no matter the journey, be sure to offer up prayer and petition with thankfulness. I remember when I graduated from the seminary school 30-something years ago, my prayer was that, God, I thank you for your blessings. No matter where you want me to go, what you want me to do, I will do that. You bless me as an unworthy sinner. I'm thankful and do whatever you will do. Back then, I was in San Francisco. The first city God wanted me to go was a small town in Oklahoma. So everybody knows San Francisco is really convenient, no matter the food, no matter my friends, no matter my connections. But I first went to Oklahoma because God wanted me to go. I obeyed with willingness. And my wife at that time just gave birth to our firstborn. So my wife and our firstborn flew from San Francisco to Oklahoma, and me by myself drove. I'm not a good driver at all, everybody. More than 5 hours, I can't do it. And magically, God called a student from Oklahoma to fly on his own expenses to fly to San Francisco to accompany me so we can drive to drive from San Francisco to Oklahoma together. I remember at the time we were taking turns to drive about 7-8 hours every day, and in 2 days we got there. And I started my journey as a pastor back then. And looking back, I can see that obedience to God is very, very important. In other words, obedience is a very important attitude. That means that I 100% rely, depend, and trust God. Because we give everything to Lord. All we have to do is to 100% believe in God. No need to complicate things. And we can see all the other examples. Of what could happen if we don't obey God. When God tells you to be obedient, we have to be obedient. If God is unhappy about your obedience, we won't be able to sustain his punishment. Praise Lord. I know everybody here has a heart of obedience. Think about this past 3 years that our ministry for children is very happy. And we will host 11:30 activity for a child. At the same time, in the past 3 months that the ministry for the youth and young adults are starting. So please support Brother Corey and his wife. At the same time, we need to strengthen all the fellowship groups. Especially with spring and summer coming, when we do more activities, we'll bring more seekers. As long as we obey the Holy Spirit, we will be strengthened. Do we have the confidence? Yes, hallelujah. So once again, obey the truth of God and you shall receive blessings. Let's praise the God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for presenting to us Hebrews chapter 5. We ask you to please add on to our faith, expand our loving heart, strengthening our eagerness and hopefulness. Let us learn from Jesus Christ. So that we can build up a church according to your holy will. We thank you for all your blessings. We know all the glory and power in heaven and earth all belong to you. Because you are a Lord who resurrected from death. That you are a victorious Savior. So that we all can live a victorious life by Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.